Thank you, Joe, for leading us in our singing today. Thanks to Bo and Jason for reading us God's Word and leading us in prayer. And Cody, thank you for a great job in directing our minds at the Lamb of God. This morning, I want to invite your attention to the life of a boy named Josiah, whose history thrust him into a role he did not choose. The narrative of Josiah is remarkable on several levels. Josiah was 8 years old. Can you raise your hand if you're 8 years old today or younger, thereabouts? I knew we had one. Could you imagine? 8 years old, he became king, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. You know what the good thing about Josiah was, though? He did right. He did right in the Lord's sight. And he walked in the ways of his ancestor, David. He didn't turn aside to the right or to the left. Think about that. Because that's going to come back to be even more critical for the environment that he had been around later on. But I want you to understand that this is kind of a history lesson on top of a sermon. Because to understand this, you need to get a handle on the political scene that was going on in Josiah's day. You know, just like in our day, we have political drama. There was a lot of political drama in Josiah's day as well. But even if you go back hundreds of years before Josiah to the death of Solomon, you'll remember that marked the beginning of a fractured and divided Israel. You see, there was David after Saul. Saul was first king. David was second. But David is the one that everybody really, from folklore and everything else, recognizes as the greatest king, right? Then after David was his son Solomon. And after Solomon, Rehoboam took over. And he taxed the people even more than his father. So what happened? A civil war broke out. Eventually, it forced the creation of two separate kingdoms when there was once a mighty whole nation. So 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel united to form what was called the Northern Kingdom of Israel. So you had 10 tribes of the 12 that went north, and that was Israel. The remaining two tribes formed what we know as the Southern Kingdom, and that became known as Judah. So you had Israel to the north, Judah to the south. By the time Josiah came to the throne of Judah, the northern kingdom of Israel was really diminished, really gone, if you will. See, 80 years before Josiah, God brought to an end the northern kingdom because of their continued rebellion against him and the idolatrous practices that invaded the land. You see, the Almighty appointed the ruthless Assyrian army as the instrument of His judgment. The death toll for the Hebrew people was massive. Those that survived this invasion of the Assyrian army, they were deported to Assyria, never to return to their homeland again. In the 8 decades that followed the fall of the Northern Kingdom, Judah sank deeper and deeper into sin and rebellion. In fact, the prophetic preaching of Micah, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Habakkuk, they all took place in Judah during this time. Each of them warning of impending judgment unless there was repentance. But you know what happened? the cries of those prophets fell on deaf ears. Even though Hezekiah, who was king of Judah, had a great victory, soon after the death of Hezekiah, Judah would fall back into sin. When Josiah, who we're talking about this morning, comes to the throne of Judah, he inherits a kingdom. Now he's 8 years old. And he inherits a kingdom where moral anarchy and rampant idolatry were commonplace. That's where we're going to pick up our story, in 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, we're going to read, I know it says verse 14, we're going to read through verse 13 together. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adada of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages to the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully." Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and had delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us." Now I want to pause right there, and I want to take you back to Wednesday night. Some of you were not here Wednesday night, so I'll try to remind everyone. But if you were here Wednesday night, I reminded you about the reign of Manasseh. Manasseh is the grandfather of Josiah. Really, if you weren't here Wednesday night, let me just sum it up this way. He was awful. Now, his story ended very well, but he ruled for 55 years in Judah, and he led the most disgusting and vile life imaginable. This is his grandfather now. Even though, again, we're reminded he repented in 2 Chronicles 33, but what would it be like as an 8-year-old to have your recollections of your grandfather be of a man who dedicated himself to removing God's word from Judah and replacing the worship of God with idols? Could you imagine? how would it affect Josiah to know that Grandpa sacrificed some of his own children to satanic gods? I told you Manasseh was awful. Or how would it be for him, Josiah that is, to read the accounts of the wholesale slaughter of innocent people that marked his reign? Such that the Bible says of him that Manasseh also shed so much innocent blood that he filled Jerusalem with it from one end to another. Let's not forget about Josiah's father. He was not much better. In fact, after Amon took over to be king, just 2 years on the throne is all he had. The people were so fed up with him and tired of his evil, nasty ways, his own servants assassinated him. This is how, at 8 years of age, the grandson of Manasseh, the son of Amon, Josiah, the boy who would become king, would take the throne. This was the spiritual heritage that was handed to Josiah. By all accounts, Josiah should have been a failure. Josiah should have been evil and wicked based upon the examples that he had. However, this young man would be used by God to lead his nation to one of the greatest revivals in their history. So what was it about Josiah that made him great before God and before all the people? There are probably a lot of things that we could talk about this morning, but I'm going to give you two, starting with number one. What made Josiah so great? He sought the Lord. Look at 2 Chronicles 34:3. I know, see, 2 Chronicles is a parallel to 2 Kings in a lot of ways. But in verse 3 it says this of chapter 34 about Josiah. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. You see, Josiah was 16 years old when he really started seeking the Lord. Now, I know at 8 years old, he began to be king. He was king at 8 years old. But it was in the 8th year of his reign when he sought the Lord. So, you think about this. As a teenager, how hard is it for our teenagers today to just all of a sudden find the Lord? If they don't have a grandfather, if they don't have a father, if they don't have a grandmother, if they don't have a mother, they don't have somebody teaching them, loving them, nurturing them, teaching, having Bible studies with them, having devotionals with them, bringing them to Sunday school, bringing them to worship, talking about God, praying with them, teaching them how to study their Bibles. If they don't have that, how hard is it for a 16-year-old to just walk in one day and start seeking the Lord? It's nearly impossible. Nearly impossible. Josiah didn't have that. He had a grandfather who was awful, who took the Word of God and removed it and brought idols in and brought all kinds of sacrifices to these false satanic gods in. He had a father that followed in the ways of his grandfather. He was so awful, in fact, that he only reigned 2 years before they killed him. His own servants killed him. Today, folks, we need a lot more Josiahs. We need people at young ages seeking the Lord. Listen, I can't help. I mean, I know Joseph was leading us in a song and I was singing it. And I was trying to think about those words. And I wasn't distracted by bad things. But when those babies come up and they put their money in, I think about a lot of things. I think about the children that they're helping. And by the way, if you would have seen the boxes that come from Sam's Club that our teenagers and our outdoor Bible spent Wednesday night putting together for the number of children we are helping have food in this area. You see, that's every dollar of this plus a lot more goes to buying food for people that are less fortunate. Cody talked about it being a ministry. Giving being a ministry. Paul talked about it being a ministry. That's what those dollars... So yes, I think about how precious that is. And you might think, well, it's not their money. No kidding. But it's not mine either. But I also think about the mamas and daddies and the grandmas and grandpas who are teaching their children the right way. You're teaching your children to seek the Lord. And I applaud you for that. And I tip my hat to you. And I thank you so much for what you're doing. And it's not just these that walking up, but that's just where my mind went this morning, thinking about Josiah. Thinking about it, 8 years old, he didn't have a father. He didn't have a grandfather that was doing that. And I'm telling you, it's miraculous, really, that at 16 years old, he's getting all this figured out. But do you see the importance of us raising our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? We're one generation away from our family falling away. Hear me out on that. Let's say my children grow up and they're part-time Christians. I believe that's an oxymoron, okay? I don't believe that's possible. But you understand the point. They just come and they just worship part-time. Do you know when their children grow up, according to statistics, they won't go at all? One generation away. We got to seek the Lord. We got to teach our children to seek the Lord. And parents, listen. I'll never forget the first time I held my son. And the first time I held my daughter, and I know when I was carrying Bo to the, I don't know how it works now, but used to, the pediatrician was with you, and he would walk you from the delivery room to the nursery. And so I'm just looking, and he knew my story, and he knew what I stood for, and he knew the prayers that had been prayed. And he looked at me, and he said, and people say there is no God. And I got what he was saying. I saw God. But what I saw in that baby being born was that God said, Terry, I am loaning you these children, but I want them back. And you do everything in your power to make sure they seek the Lord. You see, Josiah didn't have it. But I'm here to tell you today that we got to have mamas, daddies, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles, and the village helping our children seek the Lord. Josiah lived in an evil day. So do we. I know that today we are worshiping and there's not anybody that can do anything about it. We have that right. Men and women fought for it, bled over it. And we're here today to be able to worship. But that doesn't mean that everybody in our country is happy about it. It doesn't mean that everybody, even in political office, is happy about it. There are people that would have us not ever worship again if they could. Satan being the biggest one of them, right? Satan would love no more for us to worship than any other being on the planet. But you see, Josiah lived in an evil day, so do we. But we can't let that be an excuse. He didn't either. Now, I know he was king and he could get something done about it. But we can pray to the king and get something done about it. But we cannot just allow, oh, well, this world's evil and this is that and it's the way it's going to be and we just go let it go by the wayside. No, we've got to do something. We've got to get stronger. Satan's getting stronger. We've got to get stronger. Really, there's no excuses. There's no excuses for us to lose our soul. If I lose my soul, it's my fault. It's not an elder's fault. It's not a minister's fault. It's not a church member's fault. Same with children. If something happens to them, it's not the youth minister's fault. Go on down the line. Now, people play that game. There's no excuse. We know the truth. The truth is supposed to set us free. So my question to you today is this. Are you seeking the Lord? Yes, it's evil out there. Yes, it's discouragement out there. Yes, a lot of it falls on deaf ears. But are you seeking the Lord? You think of the excuses that Josiah could have had. But he sought the Lord. But you know what else he did? He found the Word. The place of worship. The house of God. It needed some repairs, right? It needed some, again, his father and his grandfather did not do the house of God any justice. In fact, they didn't care if it was the house of God or the house of whatever God they worshiped. Okay? So they didn't care. You know, Solomon, remember how immaculate the temple was, the house of God was. I mean, Solomon had nails were made of gold. Okay? His nails were made of gold. Silver was worthless in his kingdom. The Holy of Holies, hand-carved cherubim, angels out of olive trees. One touched one wall. One came to the middle. The other one touched that wing, came there. Under that, and they were overlaid with gold. Gold walls overlaid. The Ark of the Covenant sat in there. You couldn't imagine how immaculate it would have been. But by now, all these decades later, it needs some repairs. So, they're repairing it. Now remember, Manasseh, Hezekiah was a good king. That's great-grandfather, right? That is the great-grandfather of Josiah. Hezekiah was a great king. He removed the high places. He did a lot of great things. Manasseh, his son, Josiah's grandfather, was not a great king. So guess what? They needed repair. He took the Word of God out. He hid it from them. So they're repairing the house of God. And then look at verse 8. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it. Now what they found in the temple was what we know as the Pentateuch. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses, before he died, gave the book to the priests. And they bore it before the Ark of the Covenant. That's how special it was. Remember, they were wandering in the wilderness. And so Moses says, Deuteronomy 31, here is the book of the law. And the priests took it. And they bore it before the Ark of the Covenant. That's how special it was. But somewhere between Joshua and Josiah, there's about 400 years, the book got lost. But the high priest found the book in the house of God. So what did he do? He gave it to the scribe who was with him, and he read it. Hilkiah and Shaphan were so excited after reading the words in the book that Shaphan brought the scroll to King Josiah and read it to him. Verse 11. Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest. Sorry, I pushed something and I lost it. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan, the scribe, and Azaiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So guess what? They find the book of law. They open it. Hilkiah, the high priest, opens it. He reads it. Blows my mind, right? High priest and reading the law. Then he brings it, or he gives it to Shaphan, who is the scribe, and he reads it. They're so excited about it, they say, we've got to get this to the king. They read it. You know what they read about? Ungrateful people. People who have forgotten God. People who forgot that God brought them to the promised land. That God said, you don't need a king. But they insisted, we need a king. We want to be like the other nations. So you know what? He said, nah, let's just raise up judges for a while. They rejected all that. We want a king. You want a king? Okay, I'll give you a king. You want to be like the other nations? I'll let you be like the other nations. Saul, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, it's split. Civil war. Israel said, hey, we're going to do it our way. God said, okay, here come the Assyrians. By the way, the Assyrians tried to take over Hezekiah. And remember, he went and spread it out before the Lord. And God delivered him a great victory that day. Hezekiah was a good king, so Judah survived. Manasseh was terrible. Ammon was terrible. And now all of a sudden, we're at Josiah. And he's reading all this. Basically, here's what it says in a nutshell. Get right or else. Get right or else, right? And it hits Josiah like a ton of bricks. And so, if you read the rest of the chapter, prophetess ends up getting the message out and everything else. And you know what they do? They do what they're supposed to do. God is so proud that Josiah led Judah to humble themselves that he does not bring destruction upon them. This is Josiah finding the book and leading a great revival for the people of Judah. He sought the Lord. He found the book. What happens when there's problems at church? We need to find the book. What happens when a husband and wife are fussing and fighting and falling out of love with one another and can't get along? We need to find the book. What happens when children get out of control and they're not like Josiah, they're more like a Manasseh? And they start going the ways of the world. We better find the book. What happens if you go into your boss one day and he says, hey, get your stuff in order. We got to cut back. You no longer have a job. We better find the book. What happens when I can't find a job after I've been unemployed too long? I need to find the book. What happens today if you don't have peace of mind about where you are right now in your life? You need to find the book. What happens if you just can't seem to get along with anybody else? You need to find the book. What happens if your joy is absolutely stolen and gone today? You need to find the book. What happens if you go in before the doctor and you receive bad news and you get a bad report? We better find the book. What if today you're shedding tears all night long? Find the book. What if you can't see your way through life right now? Find the book. Seek the Lord. Find the book. But when you find the book, open the book. Read the book. obey the book. Today's day and time, we need a lot more Josias and a lot less Manassas. Today, where are you? Do you have any of those troubles going on that I just talked about? The answer to them are right here. The answer to the troubles you have, this will lead you to Jesus Christ. Today, do you know Jesus Christ? Have you been washed in His blood? Are you seeking Him? Are you reading about Him? Are you obeying Him? Today, maybe you've done that, but along the way, you've forgotten. You've hidden the book. You've thrown it in your back seat. You've laid it on your coffee table. You've misplaced it. Wherever it is, you put it down. Today, let's find it again. If you have a need, won't you come right now? Together, we stand and sing.